you will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness,
adding value, showing that you have value,
to the downside of venture capital.
You will not own the company.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. I'm Rob Artigo, guest host for this edition of Tough Things First. Paul Moore is here with me. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing today, Rob?
Paul, you worked with Ray for many years, so I thought it might be interesting to have the both of you together for a Tough Things First podcast, just to kind of get a broader view of what happens in the business dynamic. Hi, Ray.
Hey, great to be with you guys again.
Now, we've been watching the Dow recently hit 20,000, and it seems like it's going to keep on going, but you know, it's a stock market. Who knows which direction it's going to go over time? So we're not predicting here that 20,000, the next stop is 29,000 or something ridiculous like that. But it is going in a positive direction, and 401ks are looking strong at the moment. And we don't really know how much the new president has to do with this. There are some talks about his pro-business, pro-American business push having some influence there. At least in that sense, the early part of 2017 has been good for business so far, right, Ray?
It sure has.
So how will businesses fare under the Trump administration in 2017 as he promised some protectionism and also tending to favor homegrown workers as well as promoting manufacturing in the U.S.?
We're just beginning to see the start of this. The reason that I think one of the reasons he got elected was because of his focus on the economy. And so I think that's probably the strongest, biggest factor in why the market is beginning to react favorably, is to the fact that they really believe, honestly believe, he's apparently has been taken as a man of his word, that he is going to fix the economy. And so I think that's the umbrella that we should talk about today is this focus on the economy. Anytime you focus on something, you're more likely to achieve it than if you didn't focus on it. And we know that that his focus is the economy.
Paul, you've been watching the Dow go up, and you've been watching the first few days of the Trump administration and seeing some of the executive orders. It seems like being pro-business, he's also been pro-labor in a certain sense. And do you think those things work together to improve our chances of helping businesses grow in the U.S. in 2017?
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, Rob, you really threw a great subject my way. There's so many things to talk about there. I see that while we may not be the lowest cost center for producing things, you might find labor cheaper somewhere else and the end product is cheaper because for the labor part of that, making that thing. But what happens is we lose all of the little insights in how to manufacture things and how to go to the next step. So that's a big concern for me, is that if we don't create and manufacture things here, we're going to lose step with the skills, the ability to innovate to the next step, what it is they're causing people who create these things, what gives them heartache. And the challenges they have. How can I help that person that's building semiconductors or cars or whatever? Those all have businesses blossoming out of solving the problems for the manufacturing people. Housing, you know, let's take the pipeline, for example. If we're going to continue doing pipeline work, well, they're in temporary housing, training for new welders. It's like Ray says, and when you concentrate on something, that focus will create things to happen. It'll cause momentum. Now, I'd like to say, with respect to the stock market, nothing's happened yet. So why is the stock market going up? Well, that's because there's a whole bunch of people that are studying, and like Ray said, they believe that Donald Trump is a man of his word. He's going to come through. They're studying what it is he's going to do. And they're placing their bet, they're voting with their dollar what to invest on. So you see some stocks losing and some stocks winning. And some
let me throw a contrarian view here, though, because I've heard that with the focus on AI, artificial intelligence, you know, the driverless car, you know, the automation within the factories, that doesn't sound like that's going to help jobs. You know, we also heard him announce that he's going to cut back, or he's going to hold the, well, I think he's going to cut back 10% on the federal jobs. So
through attrition.
Well, yes, but that doesn't sound like it's going to help jobs. So let me just be a contrarian here. So how does AI or you know, these artificial intelligence, these robotics, how's that really going to help jobs?
Okay. So if we were to go back in time 10 years ago and say, gosh, there's this marsh sitting over there in Menlo Park. I don't see anything that we're doing now that's going to create a giant company that employs tons of people and forces real estate to go up into sky-high prices of $1 million for a 2,000-square-foot home. I'm talking about Facebook. We did not have the foresight to see Facebook coming. And I think that some of the things that will come out of AI that liberate us from not doing the mundane things, like Drive, instead of Drive, I'm on a conference call and I'm not distracted. I don't think that we know all of the wonderful things technology is going to enable the human being to excel at, because they're not burdened with things that a machine can do.
Yeah, but that's high tech. That's going to help out the high tech workers. But how's that going to help out the everyday blue collar guy that's driving this truck, and all of a sudden his company says, "Well, we don't need you anymore because we're going to go with autonomous trucking."
Now, yeah, that's an obvious thing. That's, you know, trucking is what, the largest employer of people in the U.S. That is a problem. That's a really good point, Ray. What are those poor guys going to do? And whose responsibility is it to help them? I don't know. That's a really good question.
The whole question about increasing focus on the U.S., that's not going to change with the artificial intelligence. Or the more automation. Actually, what it does is, in my mind, and here I'm arguing against myself, is that it'll actually allow jobs to come back, or products to come back to the U.S. because we can do them here cheaper, because labor will be less intensive on that product, and therefore you won't need the lower price labor if you can actually build it cost effectively through artificial intelligence. So I'm kind of arguing against myself, and all these autonomous vehicles that are being built to allow us now to better get around more cost effectively actually will cause there more jobs available for these blue collar workers to build these vehicles, and so they will be done in the U.S. And so on the one hand, you know, you say, well, but this is going to cause loss of jobs, but on the other hand, it will increase jobs because of just the demand and need for those AI products.
And here's another dynamic that I find pretty interesting. And this is something that we don't know what's going to happen with this yet, but it does seem to be in the works. There's more talk about it now. Foxconn, which is the world number one producer of the iPhone, may open a factory in the U.S. And I'm not sure we would be talking about this happening if not for a Trump presidency, because of his the tax advantages that he's talking about and the idea of drawing businesses back to the American continent. Foxconn could have a manufacturing facility in the U.S. that employs as many as 50,000 employees. Are these the kinds of things we're going to see more of?
Well, again, you hit the nail on the head, and that is that with companies committing to move back to the U.S. Okay, how do you build them inexpensively? That requires more automation, because we have to reduce the labor content. So then on the one hand, it does hurt jobs, meaning that automation will reduce the number of people, but those jobs are being taken on right now by these other countries, Foxconn primarily being in China. But if they do move that facility back to the U.S. and do automation, it's not going to hurt jobs here. If anything, it could enhance them because we have to construct the buildings and the facilities to be able to perform these products through automation. So we're not losing anything because the jobs are being moved from China to here. We're actually gain in the sense of the word that product will be built here in the U.S., maybe through more automation.
And one last thing, and then we'll wrap this up, and that is what is out there that could derail the good news for businesses in 2017?
Increased interest rates. You know, you got the yin and the yang that affects business. So with the increase in the stock market and increase in gross national product, GNP, GDP, will also cause interest rates to go up. So if the Fed will let interest rates go up gradually, I think we're going to be okay. But if they do take off in order to control inflation, that could cause a problem. So and will hurt the market and will hurt business. So it could actually cause a recession. So we have to make sure that the Fed doesn't get too carried away with increasing rates. My guess is that interest rates will increase 50 basis points within the next 5 months or so. So that's as long as they don't go any more than that, I think we're okay. But I think you're going to see interest rates go up at least 0.5% over the next 5 months.
Do you have something to add more?
No, I don't. I was just contemplating what that would mean, you know, because it's not just, you know, we're talking about the lending rate and then the access to the capital for the individual that buying a home. The linkage isn't one-to-one, you know.
Right.
So what will that mean for a person buying a
house? We talked about business, okay? So
yeah.
He said, well, what could possibly yeah. impact this? And what I think could happen is if interest rates climb too quickly, if they get like 0.5% over the next 5-6 months, I think it's okay. Not great, but it's okay as long as we don't try to overcorrect for the inflation that we're going to see. And inflation comes about because people earn more money, they have more to spend. You know, that's the downside of growth. You can't have too fast a growth because costs will just go up too quickly. So we have had such low growth for the last 8 years, you know, sub 2% GDP, that, you know, everybody's enthusiastic. Oh, we got this growth going. If we don't get too carried away with our growth, then I think we're going to be okay. But if too much enthusiasm, I think will drive up prices, wages will go up too quickly. And that will cause interest rates to climb and will actually hurt ourselves. It's like eating too much. I mean, you got this beautiful meal here, like a Thanksgiving meal. If you just had that morning, afternoon and night every day, you're going to look pretty chunky. So, you know, you got to control your consumption.
Yeah. I told my kids, I said, let me explain what's going to happen. The only fear I have is the economy overheating.
Right.
What I want you to do is you're going to see your friends doing really well. They're going to be buying lavish things. I want you to be more conservative. Yep. I want you to understand that there's going to a dip is coming. So prepare for that dip while everybody else is having a big party.
Well, regardless, too, at least we're looking at a 2017 that appears to be starting out strong for business and hold some promise for the workforce. So we'll look forward to see how that thing comes around for us in 2017. I'm Rob Artigo, guest host for this edition of Tough Things First. Paul Moore is here with us. Thanks again, Ray.
Well, thanks again for having this wonderful podcast discussion.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.